The first reading, a reading from the second book of Kings. A man came from Baal-Shalah, bringing to Elisha, the man of God, 20 barrel loads made from the first fruits and fresh grain in the ear. Elisha said, "Give it to the people to eat." But his servant objected, "How can I set this before 100 people?" Elisha insisted, "Give it to the people to eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and there shall be some left over." And when they had eaten, there was some left over, as the Lord had said, the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord, and let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. The eyes of all look hopefully to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. The Lord is just in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs.
The second reading, a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. One body and one spirit, as they were also called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, may our Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up to the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, so he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them just to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were reclining, and also as much as the fish as they wanted. When they had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, and had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This truly is the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that what they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. And how are you? Blessed. And so today, if we listen to the second reading, it gives the context for the first reading in the Gospel. And here Paul is telling us that we need to strive to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So again, if we focus on the will of God in our lives and wanting to do God's will, the very last thing that Jesus Christ ever prayed for was what? That we would be one. Huh? And so today in the Eucharist, because the gospel is about Eucharist, as Jesus takes and he feeds the 5,000 with the little, that Jesus, who is the Eucharist, is the one who makes us one. And then he goes and it talks about, it says, "You're one body and one spirit. You're called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all." So it's God's holy will that we are one. And I think that's one of the hardest things. It's the biggest thing I think we need as a church today, because we haven't been one. And we all focus on different reasons why we're not one. You know, we don't like the Pope, we like the Pope. You know, we don't like Mass in this way, we like it the other way. And we all keep forcing and wanting things our way. And the day things don't go my way is the day I pick up my toys and I leave and I say, "Okay, I don't like this." Or I stay and I just make the water bitter, because all I do is complain and make everything miserable in there. And none of that is the will of God. You know, when we go back about how to make this unity important, is we go to that little boy, right? You know, you have the apostles, the great apostles, and they're just telling Jesus all the reasons why we can't feed these people. And that doesn't help, right? Oh, 200 days' wages won't even give these people a mouthful. You know, Andrew sits there and says there's a kid here, but he don't have much. This is all the reasons why God can't do what he can do. But then this little boy with the loaves and the fishes that he had, now he could have said, like many do, "No, no, no, this is for me and my family. I can't share it. Are you kidding me? If I give this to you, then I will have nothing. And if I have nothing, then what's going to happen?" But you took a boy who was generous, and a God who is powerful. And we bring them together. And unity happens where they all sit down. and they're all fed. And that unity and being fed produces abundance that now they have to take over 12 extra baskets. They didn't even start with one basket, and now they got 12. Because of one person who decided to be generous and a God who is powerful. And that's got to happen in our own lives. We got to begin to say, it's not their job, that person's job. I don't like the pastor. I don't like this. It's my job to be generous. Every one of us here, it's our job to take what we have and not worry about ourselves, but give it to Jesus. Give it to the building of the body. Think about us in our church, just our church here, not even thinking about all the people that are watching now. If every person here decided that they were going to give what they had for the feeding of others, how much abundance we would have as a community when we decided, instead of I have to put myself first, I have to put feeding others as my top priority. And don't you get when we do that, God not only feeds you, and feeds us, but he gives us an abundance. It's always about, what can I give? And then Paul even goes deeper, how to build this unity amongst us. And again, this got to be like an examination. When I was praying with this early this morning, it was my examination. I did not do well, just so you know. So if you and I say this about what God's calling us to you, and you don't do well, then you're in with your pastor. But we can't stay there. That's the thing. We can't stay there. So this is what Paul says that we have to do. He says, I want to urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received. And so the call that God has called all of us to is to be one. That's the call, to be one with Jesus so we can live forever. To live, you know, all of us are going to be together in heaven. You do know that. There's not anybody going to sit there alone and having things your way. This is the way I like to worship. This is the way I like to do things. It's me and Jesus. The rest of you don't like it, go to hell. Nope. It's all of us together. That's the way it's going to be. So heaven on earth is when we're all together, focusing on Jesus and not ourselves. The boy focused on Jesus, not on himself. He believed in a God that can do anything. So must we. And so this is what Paul says. So you got to live, I got to live in a worthy manner of the call that Christ has given to all of us. With humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another with love, striving for that peace. So again, this morning, God says, I want you to be humble, gentle. Now, we all know that's my greatest attribute. Patience, even greater. Bearing with one another through love. And try. But we all got to look at our own lives and think, is this way I'm living? Is this what God wants me to live? Am I willing to change my life if he asks me? Am I humble? Am I gentle? Am I patient? Do I bear with others lovingly? This is what builds the unity, and it's what builds and gives each of us peace and our community peace. If we don't have peace, if we're not one, it's usually because we're not humble, we're not gentle, we're not patient, and we're not bearing with one another in love. We're asserting our rights, putting me first. If I don't get what I want, that's enough. I'm done. When it always should be to be like Jesus, who at this very Mass, when he brings us unity, how does he bring us unity? By humility, by gentleness, by patience, by giving himself for love of us, by being Eucharist. He become the God the universe cannot contain, humbles himself right there on that altar, and then feeds you and me. Never is it about him. It's always about you. It's always about us. He himself is like this. And he says, if you're going to be my followers, I want you to be like me. And so it's a tall order, this unity. It costs us our lives. It costs us to always being more concerned about the other. It costs us taking our gifts and not saying they're mine. This isn't my food, the boy said. He gave it to Jesus. You and I, every gift we have been given, we need to give it to Jesus. And if we do, we will know peace, we will know unity, and we will know abundance. You got it? You get it? You're going to do it? Together, we'll try. May you know his love today and forever. Amen.